This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on April 26th, 2012. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Thank you. Welcome to the meeting, Commissioner Walther and Professor Zolt. The next matter on the agenda is Draft Advisory Opinion 2012-8. We will begin with a presentation from Mr. Theodore Lutz from the Office of General Counsel.
Thank you, Chair Hunter. Good morning, Commissioners. Before you are two agenda documents which were held over from the April 12th open session. Agenda document 12-21 and 12-21A respond to an advisory opinion request followed by a repledge. Repledge is a corporation that proposes to establish a web-based platform that would allow individuals to remove pledged funds in equal amounts from opposing candidates for federal office and instead donate their funds to charitable organizations. Repledge has asked a series of questions relating to its proposal. Agenda document 12-21 concludes that Repledge may establish its platform and engage in the activity it proposes. Agenda document 12-21A concludes that Repledge's activity would violate the prohibition on a corporation facilitating the making of contributions. The Commission received one comment on draft B. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Lutz. Professor Zolt, I believe we do have questions from commissioners. Hopefully you'll be able to hear us.
Yes, I can hear you. And first, thank you for the opportunity to appear, and I apologize for not being able to be there in person, but classes are just ending here at UCLA. And, Chair, I'm disappointed that the children are gone. I think they might find the replay platform interesting.
They would have loved to hear your request. Unfortunately, we're having a bit of a hard time hearing you. We'll try to proceed. If this doesn't work, what we're going to do is move this matter to the end of the agenda. I hope that's okay with you, but it won't be too much. Probably we may have to call you back in about an hour, but let's give this a whirl.
Okay, and I'll try and talk louder.
Okay, thank you. It's very hard for us to hear you. Madam Vice Chair?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay, Mr. Zolt, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, this is Ellen Weintraub. I'm trying to. I find this a very problematic request because I feel like we're kind of trying to fit a square peg into a round hole here. In your original request, you said Repledge will be providing services only to its members and not to federal political committees. But then in your comment, you said, no, we will be providing federal committees with the very limited service of providing a platform for sending contributions to federal committees that are not successfully diverted to charities. As you may know, we look at it differently depending on whether the service is being provided to the contributors or the service is being provided to the recipient committees. So can you help me understand which it is?
Yes, Commissioner Weintraub, I think I can. In our original submission, our original advisory opinion request on page 12, we do state that Repledge will be providing federal committees with the very limited service of providing a platform for sending the contributions. And there we would be providing both the processing service that we would supervise, the payment processor that we retain, and we would also be providing them with information necessary for them to compile donor information to fulfill their report. I think our basic service is really a matchmaking service, that we are a match.com for political opposites who want to still support their candidates but see the money go to a more useful purpose. But we are providing a level of service, I would say, both to the political committees and to our members. It's just a very limited service. And the service is really identical to that provided in Democracy Engine or Brooks or GivingSphere.
Well, as you may or may not know, I didn't vote for the Brooks AO, so that may not be your strongest argument with me. And I think it's not actually quite like Democracy Engine either. Are you I'm also a little bit confused about whether you consider the services that PayPal is going to provide in getting the contribution to the actual candidates, should the contributions not be matched and diverted to charity. Is PayPal, do you see PayPal as acting as your agent or not? And, you know, just so you know, the and maybe you know this already, we have a line of AOs that talk about check processing services. You know, if you're providing services to the donors that are sort of like check processing services, the commission has approved that in the past. It's not clear to me that you're actually doing that because you seem to be sort of distancing yourself from the actual donation to the political committees and saying, well, if you want to do that, then go deal with PayPal. So I'm, you know, and at the same time, we have another line of cases that says if we look at you as providing primarily services to the political committees, you might be a commercial vendor to them, although you don't seem to quite be providing commercial vendor services to the political committees. Again, you seem to want to be more distancing yourself from them. It's an odd kind of vendor relationship that would involve your advocating that people not give money to the political committees. But can you help me out on the on whether you think the PayPal services are actually part of your operation or not?
Yes, Commissioner Weintraub, I view them as part of our operation. We've been in discussions with both PayPal and WePay, and we will, in effect, integrate their payment services into our final web page. So we are the ones who are retaining them and supervising their operations and directing them how to distribute the funds. We set this up as an independent, as to make sure the funds flow.
Mr. Zoll, what was the last thing you said? You trailed off there at the end.
I'm sorry. That we view it as a contractor relationship where we are supervising.
Mr. Zoll, are you still there?
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Okay.
Yeah, let me try.
So let's move on to the next matter on the agenda, and we'll get him back on the phone toward the end of the meeting, and that'll give you some time to think about it. How's that?
Okay.
Perfect. Okay, it all worked out well. Professor Zoll, thank you very much for your patience. This is Caroline Hunter. Sorry about the technical difficulties this morning. The good news is we can hear you loud and clear now. So.
Okay. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you very much. We might need to go over, I'm not sure if Commissioner Weintraub wants to go back through some of what you already said because it was very difficult for us to hear you, so I'll ask her.
Yes, this is Ellen Weintraub again, Mr. Zoll. I actually would like to sort of go through the questions and answers again because I could barely hear you last time.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Boy, now it's like a whole new world now. You're suddenly loud and clear. Tell me again. I mean, my basic problem here is trying to figure out whether you are providing a service to the donors, which is requires one set of analysis from the commission, or whether you're providing a service to the political committees that might benefit from your process here, even if that's not your intent, and also how you view your relationship with PayPal or WePay or whatever other entities are out there that would actually be processing the money flow.
Okay, Commissioner Weintraub, we Repledge primarily view that we are providing services at the request and the benefit of our users. But I don't think that makes it mutually exclusive that there is some limited service that is also provided for the political committee. And I think we do that in the ordinary course of our business for a commercially reasonable fee. But again, our primary service is provided to the donors, and there is a limited service with respect to both transfer of funds and providing information with respect to the donor's occupation, age, address, other information required for reporting purposes. I don't think that's any different than Democracy Engine or GivingSphere, where, again, although it's stated it's provided exclusively for the purposes of the members or the users, in those two cases, there's also incidental benefits provided to the political committee. So I think the nature of the structure makes it that there's really services provided at both ends. But I think the key is we're doing it in the ordinary course of our business for a commercially reasonable fee. With respect to the payment processor, again, I think we're exactly the same as Democracy Engine and GivingSphere. The payment processor is acting as our agent, our direction and control. We're working with them now on embedding their processing feature in our website. It will be seamless to the users, but they will know that the money is totally in control of the payment processor. So this is really an internal control situation. We're trying to avoid any chance of expropriation, misuse of funds that would be similar to what you're dealing with in advisory opinion request 212.7. But again, what we're trying to do is set up a transparent, risk-free device for our users to collect funds from them and then almost immediately transfer it to the charities or the political committees.
So you view this as your Repledge will actually be collecting the funds even if they go straight to PayPal?
That's correct. That I view it as the funds are entered. I don't know, Commissioner Weintraub, if you had an opportunity to look at our beta webpage, but you would select your candidate, you would select the charity that would get the funds if the funds are not matched, and then you enter the amount. And the way it would work is the funds would be put on hold until the end of what we call a fund drive, the 14-day period. And then at the end of the fund drive, your credit card would be charged for that amount. So whether we use WePay or PayPal, it's just an agent, a financial institution, that has to be what Democracy Engine and GivingSphere did. I'm sure they didn't process the payments themselves, that they were done under the direction and control of a contractor, a third-party financial institution.
I actually don't know whether that's true or not. I'd have to go back and look, and I'm not even sure whether we had that information at the time. I guess from my perspective, what you're describing today is a little bit different from what I thought were the facts based on your request and your comment. So personally, I'd like to think about that a little bit more.
Okay. I apologize if we were not clear in either our initial request or the comment we filed, but the way we have structured it has always been as a primary service to the donor and an incidental service to the political committee. On the payment processing, I think I understand where the confusion arose. We were extremely in my mind, diligent of trying to get the point across that Repledge would never touch the money. And that's really from a point of view of inspiring confidence in our donors and setting up a operating system here at Repledge where we don't have any cash exposure.
I hear that, but again, you know, so is Repledge never touching the money, or are PayPal and WePay acting as their agents in processing the transactions, in which case Repledge actually is touching the money?
Yeah, so it is both. We're never physically touching the money, but Repledge is retaining these guys as our agents. Commissioner Weintraub, I agree with you to the extent that Repledge is our agent and they're touching the money. we are deemed to be touching the money. Turns out there's insurance provisions by using one of these processing services that users can take advantage of if there's any misappropriation of funds. So it's more physical rather than legal control.
Okay, I'm actually looking at the Democracy Engine opinion right now, and it does actually appear that in that case, Democracy Engine was literally processing the payments themselves. I don't know.
Okay.
So I mean, it is a little bit different. I'd like to think about whether I think it's a legally significant difference. From my perspective, I would not be prepared today to vote for the draft that gives you the okay. If you would be willing to give us a little bit more time, I'd like to think about it a little bit more in light of the new facts that you've relayed to us today.
Okay, I understand. Commissioner Weintraub, on page 3 of the Democracy Engine Advisory Opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It says the convenience fee is set to cover all of the fees and costs of the financial institutions involved in the credit card transaction. That is the bank issuing the credit card, the card association, the processing, and the card network. So there's a transfer account which uses the merchant account, and what PayPal and WePay do is just the next generation of merchant accounts.
I
believe also in Giving Sphere, it's again use of an independent financial institution.
I hear what you're saying. I just would like a little bit of time to
understand
for me to process that information, if that's okay with you.
Yes, it is.
Does anybody else have any questions for Professor Zolt? Commissioner McGann.
Thank you. To the extent that part of your business model is providing this sort of service to campaigns, which seems to be the new twist that the vice chair has spotted, any sense of what percentage of your business that would be? Because I could envision a situation where what you're doing may be fine for others but not be fine for depending on who you are. I'm just trying to get a sense of what this really means in terms of how much of your business model is tied to the issue that the vice chair has raised.
Commissioner Hunter, could you repeat Commissioner McCann's question just in brief? I'm hearing you fine, and my ability to hear Commissioner McCann is not as good.
Huh.
I'm going to ask him to speak a little bit louder and clearer into the microphone.
Okay.
How about this? Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. That's a lot better.
Wonderful. The question was rather rambling, so I can't repeat it in a clear way.
Which is why I didn't try to.
Which is how I usually ask.
Then I'll give a rambling answer.
That's good. That's good. You'll fit right in here. The concern I think the vice chair is raising is that there may be a difference legally depending on who your client is servicing. And I don't want to read into it too much, but I'm just thinking ahead down the road. And the question was, how much of your business model is tied to or dedicated to, whatever phrase you want to use, providing the service to campaigns as opposed to other folks, donors or whatnot? Because I think that seems to be potentially an issue that the vice chair has raised that may result in a different answer. And I'm trying to get ahead of the curve and flesh that out now to see, is there a way that you at least get half a loaf? I don't want to forego the other half of the loaf yet. Vice chair is smiling, so that means that both loaves are still on the table. But I want to get a sense of before we cut the loaf, get a sense more factually is this really a real issue, or is this something that is tangential to what you're doing?
So in terms of what percentage of our business model is geared towards our donors and which geared towards the political committee. I think in my ideal world, Commissioner McCann, is that if we have our election between Obama and Romney and people using Repledge each give $10 million to each candidate, such that all $20 million goes to charity, that would be a perfect result from the Repledge perspective. To the extent there is spillover funds that will go to the candidate, then I think we are providing a limited service in transferring those funds and information. But I think we're doing it as a commercial vendor. I think we are, in the ordinary course of business, charging a commercial reasonable fee. And I think for the commercial vendor, there's no requirement of a specific quantity of service. It can be this very limited service. We just have to charge a reasonable fee to avoid any of the facilitation challenges that were raised in Draft B. So I think we can provide a limited amount of service, charge for it, but yet not have it rise to where facilitating fundraising.
Let's assume that there's an insufficient number of commission votes to give you a green light to do the latter, the limited portion with the fee. Does that undermine your ability to do the first part, which seems to be more of your central focus, to take your hypothetical $20 million to charity? Does saying no to the more discreet issue stop $20 million going to charity?
Okay. I'm not sure I understand the question.
Let me try it again. Let's assume, for the sake of argument, the commission says, yes, you can do your service for donors, but no, you can't do it for campaigns.
Okay.
Does that kill your business model? What does that do to you as a practical matter?
A practical matter, I think our platform doesn't work anymore, because our platform is set on the notion of we have a campaign arms race. We want mutual arms reduction, and we fully appreciate that it won't be even. It won't be $20 million for each. And therefore, I think our members have the right to expect that if their pledge to a candidate is not matched, the candidate would receive that funds. But again, Commissioner McCann, it is similar to Democracy Engine and GivingSphere in that connection, in that the money is provided through this web-based platform and then transferred to a political committee. So I don't think we're asking the commission to approve a new structure. It's just a new application of that structure.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Madam Vice Chair, Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And again, Mr. Zolt, who's paying the fee?
Say again?
Who's paying the fee? You said you're providing a commercial.
So the fee is physically paid by the member, but the political committee receives this fund net of the fee. So if we have a total fee charged on the transaction of, let's say, 5%, and $100 starts out from the donor, the political committee would get 95 if nobody matches that fee, nobody matches that pledge. So again, the political committee would be paying for the services just by receiving a net amount. If this was important to the commission, we could split the fee between the member and the political committee, but economically it would work out identically. And in Democracy Engine and in GivingSphere, they received, the political committees received the amounts net of any fees, just like our structure.
This is Commissioner McGann again. When you mean you could split the fee, but it would work out the same economically, do you mean that there'd be the same amount of charitable money that would occur, or do you mean it just is a symbolic, we could split the fee, but it ends up being the same underlying transaction. I didn't understand.
So transaction-wise, it would be exactly the same. So if we had a total 5% fee, we could either charge it all to the member, we could split it 2.5 a piece to the member and the political committee, or we could charge 5% to the political committee when they receive it and 5% to the charitable organization when they receive it.
But the net would remain the same, is the point. Okay.
Any other questions for Professor Zolt? Okay, Professor Zolt, according to what I've got here, the deadline for this request is May 1st. So we'll be in touch with you to sort of determine whether we can get an answer by then, but it's looking like we're going to have to ask you for a little bit more time, as the Vice Chair said. So Mr. Lutz from the Office of General Counsel will be in touch with you regarding the timing, if that works for you.
Okay.
And we also may have additional questions, which we'll send via email.
Okay, Chair Hunter and the rest of the commissioners, I appreciate the opportunity to answer your questions, and I just hope you move favorably on draft day.
Thank you very much, and again, thank you for your patience this morning. We really appreciate your calling. It was a very helpful conversation.
Okay, thanks again, and hope you guys have a good lunch.
Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Good breakfast. Okay, so I am told that we're able to gavel the meeting out and still record Commissioner Walther's votes as long as he does so by the end of the day. And I just wanted to mention that in case there's any objection. If not, we will proceed accordingly. Mr. Palmer, are there any management and administrative matters to discuss?
Madam Chair, there are no such matters.
Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned.